Are we still recording?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
It even
pick up.
says recording. Yes, I can see it says recording for reals.
Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is the Quizmaster himself, Kyle JCRB Krause.
Hi, I'm here. I'm here. I'm ready. We're doing this thing. I'm going to quiz you as a master on quizzing things. So get ready, Ian. We got a load of questions to drop on you, specifically from the people who want to know. They have questions that are burning. They're burning questions. They're on fire, literally.
They're literally on fire. I can see the smoke from here.
Yes, the questions are on fire, so we better get into them real quick.
That's right, because we missed an episode a couple weeks ago. First time in 3 years, it happens. We know what you guys are really here for, so this episode of the Bumblecast is nothing but Q&A.
That's right, Q&A time.
Before we get started on the Q&A, quick news update. Part of the reason why we missed the episode a couple weeks ago was I was dead tired. I did two shows back-to-back, Toronto Comic-Con and WonderCon. The latter, thanks to the wonderfully generous and wonderful folks at IDW.
Generful. It's pretty good.
Generful. It's like wonderful and generous at the same time.
Exactly. Generful.
I'm pretty a good. Wordsmith.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I like it.
So big thanks to everybody who came out. Another part of it was... It turns out, right before WonderCon, I found that my passport had expired.
That's bad.
They let me fly down. They wouldn't let me fly up.
What?
Wouldn't even let me look at the plane. So, from 4 a.m. to 4 a.m., not counting time exchanges, I got my new passport and I got home. And I shelled out a whole lot of money to do it. But the show was great. Was absolutely fantastic, wonderful crowd. Got to meet Tyson Hess again for the first time. Lovely chap, extremely talented. Got to meet a lot of the IDW folks, wonderful people all around. So many great fans. And, dude, Kyle. Okay, so somebody built an authentic working BB-8 out of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. It's really freaking cool, yeah.
And I don't mean like those itty-bitty toy ones. I mean
this thing was
like
a real one.
Legit
yeah.
size.
Full size, yeah.
Running on like four different computers and gyroscopes and magnets and...
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They actually built BB-8 for the movie. He's not just a CG thing. He's actually...
Well,
he's real. He's real. He actually exists.
Yeah, but I thought all the non-CG stuff was puppetry. It's an actual functioning droid thingy?
I believe so, yes. It is remote controlled. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So you can
Next thing you got to tell me, they have indoor plumbing these days.
No, I don't know what they have in Canada, but I know down here we do. I don't know how your igloos are outfitted up there, but down here, we actually do have indoor plumbing. So you can take a bath, you can go to the bathroom in your house. I know this is probably news to you, but I don't know. It's just a thing.
You get used to moose power very quickly up here. I'll just say that.
Also, I wanted to say that... this is the one time where Canadian niceness didn't work out in your favor because in Canada, they were real nice about letting you go through with an expired passport. We came down to America and America was like, nope, you can't.
Well, yeah.
It's like
everybody involved, except for like one person, was legit very nice and, you know, went out of their way to try
well,
to help me.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just
the
making...
The technicality of it was I'm still a U.S. citizen, so they couldn't bar me from coming back into the country.
Right.
I didn't travel with expired papers, so...
Oh, boy. All right.
Anyway, let's do a bumble raffle.
Let's do the bumble raffle.
Now, the Bump Raffle is a contest we have every show where you win a prize. What is the prize? It's a surprise.
Who knows? I don't.
If you are not a patron, you can enter in by writing to us at bumblecast@yahoo.com. You just need to write in for every episode you want to be put into the drawing. If you are a patron over at patreon.com/bumblecast, you are automatically entered into every drawing.
Awesome. So who's this week's winner, Ian?
This week's winner is...
Fatola.
Congratulations, Fatola. We will be in contact with you. If you've won a previous Bumble Raffle and you haven't got a prize or you haven't heard from us, please email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com and yell at us and we will fix it. Because you deserve your prize.
Yes. Now, we're ready to get into some Q&A here, but I think we got something to get out of the way first. We got an awesome ad from our great supporter. So, Ian, lead us into that.
I certainly will. The extremely generous Daniel H. He says, we all know and love Jennifer Hernandez, a.k.a. Chibi Jinhen, and we all know how hard it is to be a freelancer. But there is something we can do to help out that world-class talent. Buy her some Ko-fi. For a simple $3, you can help keep a starving artist from actually starving. So let's rouse some Sonic Brotherhood and Sisterhood. Thanks for your time. Head over to ko-fi.com/ChibiJinhen. If you would like your ad featured on the Bumblecast, head over to patreon.com/bumblecast and see our various perks for patrons and buy yourself a space on the show.
Indeed. You can go over there and you can buy priority Q&A access. You can hop in and join us for an episode and a lot more cool stuff. So patreon.com/bumblecast, that's the place to be. The other place to be... in our inbox. At email, you can email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com to send us questions for the Q&A. You can also hit us up on Twitter at bumblecast or using the hashtag bumblecast. It down in the YouTube comments, you can leave your question down there on any of our videos, or you can head on over to the Patreon and send us a, or leave a comment or send us a message. First question in the priority Q&A comes from Tick Tick. This is a question I don't think anyone has brought up, but interests me greatly. I know that Worlds Unite was a bit of a crunch to fit into things, but as I was reading it, and the stories that immediately followed it, I couldn't help but think you had something planned with him that never came around. What interested me the most was that Eggman and the Onyx City Council both had trouble controlling the Genesis portals to the point where their attempts basically ended in disastrous failure. However, Sigma seemed to have no trouble at all and seemed to understand them immediately. I can understand that was most likely a narrative shortcut to get the action going in the crossover, but you can give us some interesting information on how and why Sigma was able to master the use of the Genesis portals when everyone else who tried couldn't.
You kind of hit the nail on the head with the whole narrative contrivance thing. The best way I can explain it in canon is that while Eggman is a genius, he's got his limitations. So you know, the Genesis portals were beyond him. The Onyx City Council, and I'm going to be speaking for Evan Stanley here because she wrote the series, so she is free to correct me at any point. They are scientists themselves, but they aren't quite Eggman's level. And Sigma, I think, is supposed to be kind of a step beyond all of them. Now, I think it's open for debate over just how far ahead the Reploids were cognitively compared to humans, but I think the general accepted idea is that they are superior to humans in just about every way, and Sigma was built to be the super Reploid, the one to lead them, the one to police them, the one to regulate them, so he would have been even further beyond the regular Reploid, which I'm assuming would be beyond even the best human. And with the added bonus of the virus powering him up, he had the ability to grasp the Genesis portals in ways that regular enhanced minds couldn't do. And part of that is it's a crossover, so you get a little fudgy with things just to make sure everything just moves.
Right. You just kind of bend the rules of each world around each other to make them fit, you know? That's kind of how I feel about it. And our next question comes from Scruffy Met. Hiya, fellas. How excited
are
you?
Hey, Scruffy!
How excited are you for Sonic Mania Plus?
Eee!
Do you think there might be additional playable characters besides Mighty and Ray, perhaps hidden and unlockable. I'm hoping for Amy. Fingers crossed.
That would be cool. I don't know at this point, you know? I wouldn't have expected Mighty and Ray to come back at all.
I didn't.
So, I mean, there's a piece of art going around that had Metal Sonic kind of floating around with everybody, and some folks are guessing that maybe that means we'll get a playable Metal. I don't know. I know some things, but that's not me confirming anything. I don't know. I will be super excited if there is anything extra, but I get the impression it might just be Mighty and Ray, question mark?
I guess we'll see.
I mean, more than anything, I want to know, one, how are they going to play? And two, are we going to get some nuggets into how their characters are supposed to be? Because we haven't gotten a lot for Mighty and Ray.
Mm-hmm.
There's little bits you can kind of infer from the arcade game. And in Chaotix, Mighty was a Sonic clone, really. He was just a sprite that was recolored because they didn't want to use Sonic for whatever reason. So that's not a ton to work off of. And I'm not expecting like full-blown cinematics because Mania has that perfect level of fun, simple storytelling from the Genesis era. But just give me a little bit. Give me just a little bit of something, and I will be happy.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And also interested in seeing what the characters' movesets will be. Like how Mighty will, if they'll add a couple things to make him differ from Sonic at all, or anything else like that, or how Ray will play in general, just because we don't really have anything specific for him to go off of. So it'll be interesting.
Now, if I were a betting man, and I'm going to do it right now anyway, I would guess Mighty plays as a combo of Sonic and Knuckles, so he'd have the drop dash from Sonic and the wall break from Knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they'll pull something new out, because I mean, they're such obscure characters. They could really add anything to them and it would still be legit, because it's not like they're really defying anything that came before.
Right. Exactly. I don't see a problem with that at all. I think it would be pretty awesome. I'm sure Mighty's Wall Cling will probably play a part in some way. I mean, it's a little thing and it might not be necessarily useful in Sonic Mania as it was for Chaotix, but you know, it's still a thing they could put in there. So I am definitely looking forward to it, though. I'm always down to play Sonic Mania again, so this is a good excuse to do so.
Yeah, I'm also hoping that they'll add in a toggle that'll let you play Sonic with all of his moves.
Oh, yeah.
Because Sonic is kind of the baseline vanilla gameplay, which feels wrong since he's the title character. So I feel like if you gave him the figure eight peel out, the drop dash, the spin dash, and the insta shield, I don't think it would really be too cumbersome to execute. It's still, you know, one button press overall, and it would add a little extra finesse to him so he stands out next to Knuckles and Tails and Mighty and Ray, question mark.
Next question comes from Fatoller. My question for this month would be, why didn't Grounder get his gadget hands? Was that a design mandate made to stay consistent with the Badnik design, or a sight gag?
It was a sight gag. Absolutely a sight gag. Now, had the book continued from that point, I did want to play with the idea that he had a whole arsenal hidden up in his arms, so that he was like a really budget version of Omega, and he was just too dumb to utilize any of it. So, yeah, he could have handled things far more efficiently. He just forgets. And so he fumbles around with the little drill hands, and that's funny. At least to me.
I cannot figure out why you'd make a robot stupid. Like, why would you deliberately program that?
So that it can't betray you, because Eggman has a really bad
hand. I guess that's true.
Robot's turning on.
I guess that's true. I guess that makes some sense. But it's
there's a direct paradigm between the power level of the robot and how quickly it turns against Eggman.
I guess that's true, because he has all sorts of gadgets in his hands that he could do some serious damage with. But if you make him too dumb to use them, then I guess that's okay. But then you're just stuck yelling at him all the time for being completely stupid.
Eggman likes to yell at people, so it all works out.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's true. I mean, is It's fun to yell at people, I guess. I don't know. I've never really gotten into that.
You obviously haven't spent enough time on the internet.
Not my thing, really. I mean, sometimes I get, you know, a little annoyed with people. But, you know, I'm just like, whatever. At this point, it's like, you do your thing, man. Or woman. You do what you want, and I'll be over here. Have fun. This next question comes from Mike B., and it's our last priority Q&A question. And he's following up on questions about the Two Worlds canon that he's had previously. Ian, the plot wasn't what I was worried about with the Two Worlds canon. What I was worried about was the fact that it's basically going against inclusion, integration, whatever other words one could throw out there to describe both humans and Mobians living in the same lands. Stop dancing around it like it's a question of plot. It's a question on setting. Are we to assume that both humans and Mobians are separated because of the Two Worlds canon? I'm sorry for egging you on about this, but the integration that we had in the post-reboot was extremely important to me and others because it made a believable world.
Okay, so it really is a question of plot, because the question of setting is established. That was answered last time. Animal world, human world. Animals are in animal world, humans are in human world. That's it. That's how it is in the games. That's how it was in Sonic X. That's what we're kind of taking our cue from. That's what it is. That's it. The inclusion in the post-reboot run of the books was an accident, to be perfectly honest, because we didn't know about the Two Worlds thing. Had I known about the Two Worlds thing when we were doing the reboot, it would have been Two Worlds. And it's not like having the humans and the animals intermingling as if they were always like that is something that's, you know, regular to Sonic, because it's not. It's more of a Dragon Ball sort of thing. And it's not really intrinsic to Sonic at all. You know, we covered this last time. We didn't know there were two worlds until it was spelled out for us. And it really hasn't been a factor in terms of setting or storyline in any of the games. You know, if there are people walking around, you can go, oh, we're in the human world. Okay, move on. Don't see any people? Well, it's the animal world. You know, so if you're playing Sonic Forces and you're wondering why Gun isn't doing anything, well, do you see any people? No, animal world. Therefore, Gun's not there. Boom, simple. It's that straightforward. And it really isn't going to affect the book for the first year, and probably not for the first 3 years, if things go the way that I think they will. I mean, maybe we can get down the line and explore the idea of the two worlds more in depth, but the general feeling I've gotten from people is they don't want me to. And I'm in no rush to do so. So, I mean, I'm sorry if that is a priority for you as a fan of the series, but it's not something that I'm going to be dealing with fresh out of the gate.
All right, let's get into standard Q&A. These come from other various sources that are not Patreon. And this first one is from @Homura the Best. Considering that you've made it clear that none of the Archie cast are returning for the IDW comics, which I don't think has been exactly how that's been phrased, but we'll go with it, could you perhaps ask Aaliyah to elaborate on either the eventual fates and or backstories of Cassia and Clove? Also, could you perhaps elaborate on the planned backstory for Bunny in the reboot? It seemed like she was going to be revealed to be originating from the soul dimension, and I was wondering why this was.
Number one, yeah, none of the Archie stuff is coming over because reasons. At least not now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's with IDW, it's a new publisher, it's a new contract, it's a new relationship. So we need to establish IDW Sonic first before we start looking at bringing in characters from any other incarnation of the series. There are certainly characters from my old run that I would love to bring over if the opportunity appeared, but I don't know how viable that is. I don't even know if that's a possibility. So for now, I'm just saying, nope, off limits, just to be safe, because that's probably how it's going to be. Maybe I'll be wrong. Who knows? But, you know, issue two is out. It's a little early to say what the future of the books are to be at this point. As for what Aaliyah's plans were for Cassia and Clove, or our plans for the future of that run of the book, or Evan's plans for the Silver side of things, or whatever Tracy Yardley would have planned, I am hesitant to trot that out there Because as fans have pointed out a lot, IDW is famous for picking up incomplete old runs and seeing them through to the end. So there is a slim possibility that maybe someday, maybe, the old run of the book might see some form of conclusion. And so I don't want to trot out all of our ideas before I know if that's a possibility or not. Now, that is a gigantic maybe. It could be that we never see that side of things again. And if we reach a point where that seems clear, then Lost Hedgehog Tales will include a chapter for that sort of thing. And Lost Hedgehog Tales is still a thing. It's just stuff. Okay, I'll get to it. I promise. I promised I would do it. It will happen. Just not nearly as soon as I thought it would.
Here's the thing. When you have to pay your bills and you gotta eat food, things that pay you so you can do those things are kind of a priority. So
that, and there's a lot of stuff that I can't talk about.
That's kind of in limbo, yeah.
Yeah, raised some concerns on my end. So it will, we'll get to it eventually. As for, and not to talk too in depth about, you know, what my plans were for Bunny, but you know, I put a lot of effort in the old run of the book on who she was, where she came from, what that part of the world was, and how it played into the greater mythos and yada yada. And all of that had to be expunged with the reboot. And so with all of that gone, with no way to even salvage or rebuild it, I wanted to do something unique for her that would have tied into a new backstory and a new mythos for her specifically, so that she could stand out as her own character, because Bunny is freaking awesome.
Yes. Yes.
So I don't want to get into the details because, as we mentioned, maybe we will get to it one day, but that, the thinking behind a new backstory for Bunny was we couldn't do anything like we had before. So let's do something new. Let's just go crazy with it, because it's really what's stopping us.
All right. That next question is from at Drillbot Killbot, which, come on, Ian. We've had a lot of awesome names on this show, but that is an awesome name.
I'm fairly certain I saw a fire in the distance and heard a guitar wailing in the background, because that's metal, man. That's
Drillbot Killbot. That'd be a good band name.
It is. It sounds like you should be like in a screamer band saying Drillbot Killbot. Kill all humans.
Hey, yo, this might seem a little left field, but does Quake Woman have a canonical height?
I asked Aaliyah, and she said no, we didn't actually set a number for it. But if you look in the comics, she's clearly a little bit taller than Rock, probably around Blues's height.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they have canonical heights off the top of my head. So whatever Blues is, roughly Quake Woman.
Okay. Maybe there's something about that on the internet. I'm curious now. You got me curious. Probably not. No, he's not 4.5 inches tall. No, that's like some sort of figure. No, that's not right. Height for Mega Man is 4'4".
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I'm really seeing. Yeah, only Mega Man's height.
Well, so Blues is clearly just a tad bit taller than him, so
yeah,
what, 4'8", maybe?
Yeah.
So maybe she's around 4'8", 4'10", that ballpark maybe. Neck of the woods.
Why are robots so short?
Well, they're children. I mean,
are they? All can, of can them? You think,
I mean, can you think of a 4 foot 4 10-year-old?
I don't know.
That seems pretty big.
Actually. Are they all children? Like,
pretty much. I mean, Mega Man and Roll are supposed to be about 10 years old. Blues is designed to be slightly older, kind of tweenish. I'm assuming Forte, Bass, however you want to say it, is around that same neck of the woods. Because all the Reploids, or not all the Reploids, but like X was only designed to be like 16, I think, maybe 14. He's not that old, at least design-wise.
I know. That always seemed weird to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe it's just a weird thing. I don't know.
It's the anime age quotient. You know, once you get 30, you're an old man.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Because I've always seen like all of the stuff that says Sonic is like 15. And I'm like, he doesn't really act like he's that young.
Dr. Light, like 40, maybe?
I don't know. It's weird. I guess he could be.
Dr. Wiley's only 26.
Wow, he's looking pretty good for his age. I don't know. I'm just confused by that. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just to get more in the ballpark of being, you know, slightly older than the target audience. So, you know, it's like somebody you can look up to as being cool because they're like older than you or something like that. I don't know. It's like how like Power Rangers was aimed at kids, but all of the most of the main characters were kind of, you know, teenagers. So, you know, you could look up to them as like, oh, they're the cool teenagers. They're the cool
teenagers, quotation
kid.
Marks.
Sure, sure. I mean, they had attitude, so there's that. All right, and the next question comes from James M. At some point in the IDW Sonic, when will we see the IDW version of Styx show up and be part of that universe? In fact, could she and IDW Amy Rose become BFFs?
We'll work backwards on that. As far as I can tell, the canon version of Styx is that she is always friends with Amy. So that can just be assumed, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
When, where, and how we introduce Styx to the comic, I'm not going to say, because that would be spoilerific. I'm sure she'll show up at some point because she's super popular. She's like the only spinoff material that has bridged the gap into main canon that I can think of off the top of my head. And I'm not counting the Freedom Fighter showing up in Spinball. That's another thing altogether.
That's a sight gag, to be honest.
That doesn't count, really. So, yeah, Styx will show up at some point.
And a very vaguely Grounder-esque robot being in Aquatic Ruin Zone in Sonic 2, that doesn't really count either.
I mean, Scratch, I think, is supposed to be a cluck, and then...
That is very... You're getting real iffy on those. So, yeah. I think that's pretty much true, yeah. So, I hope to see Styx soon. I'm just wondering, is she going to have the same design, pretty much, or anything that you know of?
Yeah, because her art on Sonic Channel is pretty much the same, so it looks like she's just coming over wholesale.
Sweet. Awesome. Next question comes from @TheRealFTA. Because Sega's confirmed Classic is from another dimension and not just a younger modern, does that mean in IDW, Sonic's earliest adventure that we know of is SA1? If so, how does Sega explain the references to CD and Sonic 3 and Knuckles?
Okay, buckle up. Because this is how I'm approaching it. I cannot speak for Sega and how they will approach the game canon. But the comics, let me stipulate this yet again. The comics are their own canon. They are inspired by the games, but they are not one-to-one. So what happens in the comic does not necessarily reflect the wishes and plans and desires of Sega. All right? We got that? We all understand? Eyes up front. Jerome, in the back. Eyes up front. Thank you.
Don't call out Jerome like that. What did he ever do?
Look, Jerome's a good kid. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He just needs to focus. All right?
All right.
I'm sorry, Jerome. I didn't mean to call you out like that.
Okay, good.
Nancy, stop teasing him. Nancy, that goes for you too.
Jeez. Calling out these people? They're going to think you're actually talking to them. What are you doing?
You got to be firm with some kids, you know?
Okay.
Anyway, so how does this work? Classic Sonic is past Sonic, okay? So Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Sonic 3, and Knuckles, CD, all that jazz happened. Sonic Generations comes around, and time starts getting kind of wibbly-wobbly because of the Time Eater. Modern Sonic and Classic Sonic cross paths. We see their shared past. We see their shared potential future. And somehow the erased timeline from 06 is in there. Just run with it.
It was a dream, like Mario 2.
Then Sonic Mania happens, and we get a divergent timeline. Because of the interaction of the Phantom Ruby and the Chaos Emeralds, Classic Sonic was beamed into Modern Sonic's era and then beamed back, and that causes a split. So Classic Sonic is both the past and a separate dimension. Okay?
Okay.
That's my answer, and I'm sticking to it until I'm told to do something different.
I love slash hate time travel.
Now, how this will affect the book, it won't. Because whereas my previous efforts were really focused on tying together past, present, future, all one giant quilt of lore, this time around, I'm primarily focusing on building forward. You know, Sonic has had previous adventures. Do you want to say that started at Sonic Adventure? Primo, cool. Do you want to say that it started back at Sonic 1? Awesome, we're on the same page. They all happened, past tense. We're moving forward, and we will build from there.
If Classic Sonic is ever brought into the comics, I just want to see him do it via DeLorean. I don't care how else you integrate him into the story. I don't care if you address this particular issue. I just want to see him do it in a DeLorean that leaves fire trails behind it. And since IDW has the Back to the Future license, I think you can make it happen.
This is true. This is true. So I'm also excited about it because it presents Classic as its own thing now. So if we were to ever delve into the Classic side of things, I don't have to worry about, okay, whatever happens in the Classic era eventually has to sync up to modern because it's its own timeline now. Classic can be whatever it wants, and I like that.
That's cool. Yeah, that's true. You can't just go back and do like, hey, we're doing a Classic story. Hey, this is a Classic spinoff. And it's just a thing that happened, and you don't have to worry about how it integrates into the main comic storyline, because who cares?
Exactly.
I like that. Next question comes from the Eichkerbund. When Ian talks about his plans for year one, does he mean the first 12 issues and thus subsequent years are synced with calendar years? Or does he mean first 12 months, ending 1 year after the comic's debut, which thanks to April issues means the first 16 issues?
I'm treating it as issues 1 through 12, and because of the April release, I was pretty sure issue 12 came out in December, but my math could be wrong on that.
I think it's pretty close. If it's not exact, it's pretty close.
The first 12 months would be the first 12 issues normally.
Sure.
So that's what I'm counting as my year one. That's the arc I have in mind. That's what's been planned out. Because April has four issues in that month, it gets a little funky, but we also are going to make up for that because it could have started in January.
You're just
it's issues 1 through 12.
You're just making up lost time for not having released the book in January,
right?
By releasing so, yeah. January
year one is number 1 to number 12.
January, February, and March, and you're just releasing them all in April. There we go.
Yeah,
it's perfect. So I think 12 would be on December. So I think you're
if
right.
If it doesn't perfectly match the calendar year, that's going to bug me. But you know, I'm treating it as 12 issues, 12 months. You know, year 1, 1 through 12, year 2, 13 to 24, yada, 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 yada.
You could be like other comics and just be like, oh, here's one issue this year. Okay. And here's two issues this year. Oh, here's two issues this month. And then 6 months later, you'll have one more issue. And then, oh, here's an issue every month for about 4 months or so. And then there's no more issues ever again because the artist and or the writer got hired onto another book. So, be thankful.
I would gnaw my ankles off if I were caught in a trap.
Be thankful it's not like that. All right. Next question comes from Antonio V. Even though Sonic is the main focus of the new comics, will the other characters be allowed to have their story arcs centered around them from time to time?
Sure. Question mark? I mean, again, issue 2 just came out last week.
You're very early. We don't know. You don't know yet.
And I've got, you know, the first year-ish planned out. That's the book is so new. There are so many possibilities. Given how incredibly well-received the book has been already, I would be very surprised if we didn't get opportunities to spin off here and there to explore the other characters. And I think that issue two itself is a good example of how we can have Sonic as the main character. But really, if you've read the issue, Amy is the star of number two when you get down to it. She has the largest arc within it, but Sonic is still the driving force. So, yeah, we'll see other characters get the limelight for sure.
Mm-hmm. I hope Tangle gets something. That would be
dude.
That
would be Tangle is well. Like nuts. I don't. We've had popular characters in the past, but Tangle is a different beast altogether. So, thank you to everyone who has made Tangle a gigantic success before she's even appeared.
Maybe she will get her own book one day in the far future. Wouldn't that be something?
I wouldn't rule it out, man.
Like a mini series or something, you know. It wouldn't have to necessarily be an ongoing, you know. It could be something. It's been a while since we've had a character specific mini series in the Sonic universe, so that could be fun. I don't know, I'm just throwing things out there. I don't know. Next question comes from @RaginSonic. I'm wondering if the character that began his life, only known as Mutsky, was given the name Bend when he was de-roboticized as a tribute to the late Sonic 7AM TV series writer Ben Hurst, the one who did the script for the Doomsday Project. As far as I know, Ben Hurst actually did a lot more than just the Doomsday Project, but go ahead, Ian.
Ben Hurst was instrumental to Sat.AM.
He was like he was the driving force. He was pretty much, I guess, what now would be called the showrunner?
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he was still pushing hard for it up to the day he died. May he rest in peace.
Yes.
So, yes, when we did the reboot version of Mutsky, I did name him Ben as an homage to him, since Mutsky was kind of like the only character from Sat.AM that was really getting heavily reinvented as a character.
Right.
So I figured, you know, since Mutsky was getting a new lease on life, it would be to honor Ben and all that he did for the series.
That's cool, actually. I like that. That never even really clicked with me until I saw this question. I was like, huh, I bet that might be the case. So that's cool. All right, next question comes from Doggy9978. Hello, Doggy.
Is it Doggy or is it Doji?
I don't know. It could be both. Hello, Doggy. So tell me this. How can Bunny have kids that have robotic parts? Are robot parts considered genes?
No, they're metallic. Genes are more denim material.
Ah, yes, it's true. You make an excellent point.
Honestly, I never got into how... What were the names?
I don't remember.
Jacques and Belle, I think?
Oh, yeah.
It's been so long.
Maybe.
They were not born with cybernetics. That was an assumption that some folks made and spread it as the gospel truth, and I just kind of shook my head and it's like, why? But... why they have cybernetics and at what point in their lives they got them, that was never really fleshed out, because it was a question of, you know, will Mobius 30 years later continue? And if it does, sure, we can explore these characters more. But right now, what would make them interesting? And that was a neat visual thing we did. And for various reasons, Mobius 30 years later did not go on. So if you want to make up a reason, your own fan and reason, please feel free. Enjoy it. And if you want to say it was because they were born with metal, then sure, why not? I ain't going to stop you.
Next question comes from Such Savings.
Such Savings?
Which is another great...
Kyle, did you know we could save on this?
I didn't know that. I got to be honest, that is also another really good name.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I don't know why. It's just
because it's such savings, man.
It's fun to
think about it.
It's fun to say, first of all, such savings. That's another good band name, too.
It needs to be a ska band, I think.
We're such savings, and we're going to rock your face off. I don't know. Here's a question for the old Q&A. How much input do you usually have for covers, and does it vary by series?
Almost none. And yeah, it does vary a little by series, but usually I don't have any input. sometimes when I'm submitting a script, if I have an idea, I can throw it in with it saying, hey, wouldn't this be neat? But usually to get things approved for not just the book being published, but for previews, they have to be done well in advance. So usually these covers are being worked on by just the pitch of the story. You know, what's the core element of the story? Let's render it in a cover. Boom, go.
All right. Next question comes from Andrew D. Is the comic scrapping the term badnik and just using the word robot? I know robot was used, but never once was the word badnik brought up, unless I overlooked it.
I would say reread Sonic number 1 and 2 again, because we used badnik probably as much as robot, if not more.
Yes. Do that. Read Sonic 1 and 2 again. And then go buy issue 3, and then buy issue 4, and buy them infinitely till the end of time. Do that. This is my way of... I'm putting secret messages in the podcast, Ian. Do you hear them?
No, they're so subtle, I completely missed it.
Okay, good. I'm glad, because I don't know if anyone else will notice, but go buy comics. Next question comes from Daryl H. Do you think there should be a Sonic the Hedgehog newspaper comic strip to take place where the Archieverse of Sonic Post SGW left off?
Should, I guess, is the operative word. And I maybe would it happen? Absolutely not. Newsprint comics, in terms of an ongoing narrative, are almost non-existent.
Yes.
Except for a handful of grandfathered ones in there. Newsstand print stories in general are a dying market, even worse than comics right now.
Yeah.
And the loss of the license from Archie means that is off limits, period. No one can access it. It's done. It's filed in a drawer and gone. It doesn't matter where you would want to print it. You can't touch it. It's gone. It's done. It's over. It's sad, but it's over.
Yeah. And apparently, from what I understand, even just like getting into doing newspaper comic strips, it's a very small group that kind of is able to wiggle their way in there, that there's not really much of an opening for outsiders to hop in on newspaper comic strips.
Yeah,
so
it's a that market is absolutely terrifying.
yeah. It's pretty cutthroat from what I've read and heard. So, yeah. Next question comes from @SarahSpyborg259.
That would be a good band name.
That would also be a good band name. Also a good name for a comic, and that's issue 259 of Sarah Spyborg.
I'd read it.
Yeah, me too. What was the name of the fourth part of Genesis of a Hero? And will issues 291, 292, 93, 294, along with Universe 95, 96, and 97 be released eventually? Or at the very least, unofficially?
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. Part 4 was titled The Original Rivalry. In part because I feel like Shadow stole a lot of Knuckles' thunder, and Knuckles was the original.
That's true.
He was the original. He was the best. He remains the best.
I would agree.
As for the previous issues, as we've answered during this episode, there might be a tiny, tiny chance that the old run might see new life. I'm not holding my breath. I'm not banking on it, but it's not impossible. But the issues that you mentioned, there's nothing to release. They weren't ever finished. You know, there were some character designs done. There were some pages done here and there. But, and covers, obviously, because of the preview stuff. But the issues aren't, you know, done and sitting in a vault somewhere. They were never done. You know, once the license was lost, all production immediately halted. And I'm not sure if I could release the scripts or not, come to think of it, because technically they are sold to Archie.
Yeah.
So they own it, so I'm not allowed to like reprint them anywhere. The sample on bumbleking.com I got with special permission, and it's only 33% of the original script. But now that they don't hold the license, I don't know what the ownership of that would be. This is one of the reasons why I'm gun shy about even approaching the stuff, because
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah. You may want to consult a lawyer.
Or I could just, like, not.
Or not do it. At all. Not do it. Yeah, yeah.
Don't like it. I said, if down the road it becomes clear that we'll never be able to touch that content again, and I think I'm in the clear, maybe I'll talk at length about what I had planned. But for now, it's done. It's filed away to some degree or another. Top men are looking into it kind of thing. So trust me, I know how much it hurts. Believe me, I had so much invested in the old run. I had so many plans. I was building towards. But
I don't know if it could possibly hurt anyone more than you.
So believe me, I want to see it out there too, because I want people to enjoy it. I wasn't just writing it for myself for fun, which I would anyway. But you know, I wanted other people to enjoy it, because it's thrilling to see other people get thrilled off of what I wrote. But I can't, so I won't. And there you go.
And our final question comes from @NZ17. Is it permitted for you to introduce Tiara and Gazebo Bubowski in the IDW comics? Is this an idea with which you are still interested? Or, you know, were you ever interested in the first place again? I don't know.
I was. I really was. And I had an early outline for... Actually, yeah, I did want to bring Tiara into the mix, even as far back as the old run. And I even went so far as to reach out to Chris Sin to get kind of the lay of the land. And he was super cool to talk to, like super generous, very cool to work with, as brief as it was. But the more I looked into it, the more issues cropped up, not to put too fine a point on it. None of it on Chris's end. Chris Sin is a wonderful dude and super cool, but there were other things beyond him that got in the way. So there might be I'm not even going to tease it. I don't think Tiara or Gazebo are accessible, unfortunately, for reasons.
And those reasons will be discussed. Probably not on a future episode of the Bumblecast, but that's okay. You can still ask your questions anyway, and we will do our best to answer them. Mostly Ian will do his best to answer them, because most questions are for Ian, which is fine, because I'm just here to read the questions, man.
And you do a good job of it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad someone appreciates me.
Let's not go too far.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's fine, too. I mean, I don't expect it. Okay, it's fine.
No, stop.
And let's move on.
Thank you again, everyone, for your patience as we, you know, got around to this episode. Thank you for sending in your questions, and keep sending them in, because that's what we're here for, along with other stuff.
But mostly to answer questions.
Yeah, pretty much. Once the show is over, Kyle, where can people find you?
I am on the internet occasionally. Doing stuff on Twitter @KyleJCRB, and you can also find me over @KNGI.org, where you can also tune into Nitro Game Injection that streams live every Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's my other show, all about video game music and video game music remixes and other awesome VGM related stuff. So tune in for that. The KNGI Network is now its own streaming network that streams 24/7. So if you head on over to kngi.org, you can tune in and hear awesome video game music remixes all day, every day, whether there's a live show on or not. You can also hear older previous episodes of the Bumblecast. I believe it's on 12. It's at noon Eastern time every Monday on there. So there's a replay of a previous Bumblecast every Monday over there at about noon. So it's usually going to be an older one. It's not going to be the most recent. But if you're interested, you can tune in over there and check out the shows going on. There's all kinds of stuff every day. There's like reruns of old shows, and then there's some new shows going on too. So yeah, pretty much always something going on now at the KNGI Network stream. So go check it out.
And you can find me pretty much all the time at bumbleking.com. That has a body of my con schedule, releases of my newest books, all that sort of stuff. Or you can find me on Twitter at IanFlynnBKC.
And don't forget, you can also follow the show and ask your questions at Bumblecast on Twitter. Or you can email us at Bumblecast@yahoo.com.
Every now and again, we do live streaming on Twitch. You can find us at twitch.tv/BumblecastGaming.
You can also head on over to Patreon at patreon.com/BumbleCast, where you can get an exclusive BumbleCast Gaming live stream every Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Or 9 or 8. Friday evenings.
Friday evenings. We all announce it. But yeah, I try to shoot for 10 to 10. But go ahead.
And you can show your support by buying some merchandise with the BumbleCast logo, the Bumble King logo, BumbleCast Gaming logo, whatever you want on a variety of products. Just head over to shop.spreadshirt.com/BumbleStore.
Bumble Store is where you can buy things and put them on your body or on your head or on your face. You can put it on your face. Put it on your face so you have the logo right there on your face. Some people ask you, what's a BumbleCast? You can explain to them what it is while they're staring right at the logo. It's perfect.
Exactly.
It's great.
See, I like the way you think.
It's perfect marketing. We appreciate it.
And now to round out the show, we're going to give a big thank you to all the patrons who make this show possible.
Indeed.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Thank you to Daniel H., Alex P., Brando Fatoler, Scruffy Matt, Chris A., John B., Sam Cybercat, Mike B., Samuel P., Jennifer R., David C., Brevin the Light, Lisa M., Damo, A.E. Double, Saturn Flicky, Justin F., Justin G., Connell T., Mike D., Adam T., Silly String, Takaro, Michael A.Q., Artindy M., Lee H.K., Chevelle, Don B., Sin Fritz, Taco Elgato Comics, John M., S. of Artovich 9X, James K, Tick Tick, Eric Frob, Eric F, Papa Drip Dop Bubbles, Overthinking Films, Adam BT, and Ron.
Good old Ron, rounding us out. Thanks, Ron. And everyone else, thank you.
That's going to wrap us up for episode 66 of the Bumblecast. We'll see you in 2 weeks for episode 67. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye. That was a horrible ending.
It works.
No, it doesn't. But I'm not going to redo it, so. I'm just amused that there's a character named Gazebo.
I love that.
Gazebo. I'm down, just as long as I remember to hit record. It won't be a problem if, as long as I do that. Hey, thanks for listening to the Bumblecast. If you like the show, be sure to hit that subscribe button and consider supporting us on Patreon. We have some great rewards as well as big plans to make the show even better. Also, rate and review the show on iTunes. It gets more folks listening and really helps us out, so we definitely appreciate it. Original music by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more of his music at bc.s3m.us and find the theme song at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com, available as a pay what you want download. And I have some good news, Ian. We're only 20 minutes in, which I think is a little better than we did last time.
Last time, are you saying that we recorded this far and realized that we weren't actually recording an episode?
No, why would I say that?
That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, that would be really, really, that would be really silly of me to have either like not pushed the button or not double check to actually make sure the button got pushed when I thought I pushed it. That would be ridiculous. We are
professionals.
We have never in our lives ever recorded a show only for ourselves that was not recorded for anybody else to hear. That would never happen. Especially not an accident.
Never.
Especially not an accident. Nope, not at all.